Hi everyone, it's me, John, from LassoCast. Real quick, as a reminder, before this episode starts, we have our second virtual hangout via Patreon for the Believer tier. This coming Thursday, May 12th, 8:30 p.m. Central, we'll be hanging out via Zoom with everybody in the Believer tier and Audie Norman, who's going to do some live drawings, and we're going to issue him some challenges that he's not prepared for and see what he comes up with. We also reached out to one of our favorite cast members and ask them a bunch of questions, and we're going to have like a trivia contest to see who knows their Ted Lasso cast members the best, and whoever wins is going to get some kind of secret prize that we're not ready to announce yet. Anyway, if you're interested in joining us, we'd love to have you. You can go to patreon.com/lassocast to join. The virtual hangouts are for everybody in the Believer tier, which is our top tier, which costs about, you know, the price of a nice craft beer at a good brewery. So nothing crazy. There's other options in there if you just want to support us. But speaking of Patreon, real quick, let me shout out our lovely current patrons that we have. We love them all so much. And let's just read through them. Whitney Lennon, thank you so much. Stacey Lowry, thank you. Kristen Venzel, thank you so much, sister. JD Bowmonster, thank you. Donna Brown, thank you so much. Melanie Diaz, thank you. Jen Klaput, thank you. Damian Ryan, thank you. Cheryl Nelson, thank you. Amanda Dubs, thank you. Sarah Rabbit, thank you so much. Robert Sherman, thank you. Laura Hobbs, Adam Hobbs, thank you both so much. Kathy Reynolds, thank you. Jamie Tarbell, thank you. James Fight, thank you, sir. Chelsea Lease, not last but least this time. Chelsea Lease, thank you. And last but least, Carolina Lumia, thank you so much to all of y'all. We really, really, really appreciate you. And yeah, that's it. That's all I wanted to say. This week we had on one of our faves, somebody that had us on their podcast a while back. We'll put a link in the show notes to the podcast, to the episode that we guested on talking about Survivor, which was a lot of fun. It's the most extreme podcast, and we talked to Brett. He came on our show, and we talked about pop culture. And Cy kind of had a great idea to do like a pop culture game show or quiz show, talk show type thing, and it was a lot of fun. So please do enjoy. Thank you. How are you?
I'm doing great. Yeah. Are we recording? We're going?
We're rolling.
Yeah. We're rolling. Woo!
Don't stress yet.
Lasso cast. Let's see. If Alejandro, my co-host for my show, was here, we would be chanting right now. But unfortunately, he is not here, but I'm here. Hello, welcome.
Is there any way that he can record himself chanting and we can just lay it in?
Yeah. Yeah, or I can just send you a clip of him saying, I'm Alejandro Joaquin, and then that's it.
I'm Alejandro Joaquin.
Yeah, he didn't talk much this ep. It was weird.
No, so how are you guys?
We're great. Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Yeah, I just came from a play, so I was outside for 2 hours.
Boy, are your arms tired.
I was not performing. I was a friend of mine, so I'm as a very pale person. Very sober.
Outside play, huh?
Yeah, it's. I think with COVID, there's a lot of shows going on now that are very like, how are we going to do theater differently now? So
yeah. Oh, is COVID still going?
Unfortunately, yes. Yeah. Hey, it's getting better. It's getting better. We're, you know.
Yeah.
I say that optimistically.
For now.
For now, right?
Yeah.
We're bound to have another wave here in Texas. Just within the next couple weeks.
Probably, yeah.
Let me look at the charts. I'm going to pull up the charts.
I mean, this is something that we do on every episode of Lasso
Cast. Just check in on COVID.
Yeah. I mean, the reason that we started Lasso Cast was a mandate by the state to provide information towards the populace.
Right.
Usually we start with like, hi there, welcome to Lasso Cast. Today, 487 people died from COVID.
Boy.
Joining us today.
Second, how cute was Tahib in that jacket?
Yep.
Oh man. Wait, John and Cy, were you guys at a concert recently?
Yeah, yes.
We were.
How
we
was
saw
it?
John Mayer.
John Mayer.
Wow.
John Mayer.
Yeah. It was fun.
It was so great.
The Mayor, John. Yeah.
Yeah. I've loved him since like middle school. Like, not him as a person. I think there's some questionable things happening there, but no. I've loved his music since middle school. I'm such a fan. It was great.
Oh, he's a yeah. talented man. Yeah.
Yep.
That's awesome. I'm jealous. I want to go.
Oh, come, fellow come. Fan. I like come it.
Down. Oh, yeah. Big time. Kenny, are you? Do you like his music at all?
I do, actually. And I'm not much of a music head.
Right, right. You're a podcaster.
I am. That's, yeah. I am podcast a podcaster. Head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As am I.
Oh, you got it. Just give me a pod. Oh, my gosh.
Do you guys listen to, when you're, okay, when do you listen to podcasts? Is it when you're driving? Is it when you're working out? Like, do you have certain times where it's like music here or podcast there?
Mm-hmm. For me, it's about 16 hours a day for me.
Wow.
There is never not an AirPod in his ear. He's like, yeah, at all times, listening to a podcast. Yeah.
That's great. In the shower.
Yeah. Actually, I just saw a tweet or something yesterday of a woman who put a miniature shower cap over her ear in the shower so she can have the AirPods in. And I might start doing that.
Why wouldn't she just get a shower speaker?
Doesn't everybody do that?
That way you can listen to, you can cry to John Mayer and shower at the same time. Fathers giving good to your daughters. That's true.
He didn't even play that for us. That was such a bummer. That's actually not one of his best, but anyway.
Yeah, I was just fine with missing that one.
Yeah,
tell us what the set list was. Walk us through the whole set list.
It started out with
Johnny can't answer it. It's only Sai.
yeah, Sai gets to say something.
Yeah. You know, it was a lot on the new album, so we didn't know as many of those tracks, although we gave it a good listen like a week or two before. He did a little bit of that Free Falling song. That's fun. He maybe did like two or three covers from other folks. We didn't hear Gravity, but I did have a stomach ache, so we left early. So I assume that was part of the encore.
It was a long show. I mean, we were there for like...
Oh, yeah. We were there for an hour and a half of the actual show. At least
an hour after the show. Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. Was this your first show post-COVID? Since COVID?
Our first show.
First show in a big venue like that.
Yeah. Our first one back was Sylvanesso last year, and that was really fun.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
And that was outdoors, so it was a little safer.
It was incredible.
Sylvanesso is from my hometown.
Oh, shit, really?
Are you from
Louisiana? I've ran into them many times.
Oh, cool.
Where?
Yeah.
Who is this? What are you talking about?
Sylvanesso. Okay, Kenny, I'm sending the link right now. Get into it.
The song Radio is really great.
Music.
It is. Hush.
I don't think Sylvanesso, here we go. Question for the audience, even though I know I'm technically a guest here, but if you could choose one band to do a cover of the Ted Lasso theme song, what would it be?
Oh.
That's a great question.
That's interesting.
Like, Megadeth would be pretty sweet, but, like, I don't know how that would fit in the show.
Yeah. I would like some soft bedroom poppy, like maybe Japanese Breakfast what's that band? Porches, like something slower and softer and less guitar.
So not like the Jeff Tweedy version.
I mean, I would like that too, honestly. Okay. But yeah, something a little more airy. Atmospheric.
Okay.
I'm going to go in a different direction. Let me make sure I know their name. One moment.
It's Ariana Grande.
It's not. Hush. Although I am a big fan. I'm going to go with Sleigh Bells. Wouldn't it be fun if it were a little rockier? Right?
Yeah.
I'd like be that. Like, John, crank it.
Yeah, that'd be great. Man, I wish I could play music. We could like make versions in the style of all these bands.
Outcast.
Ooh, yeah. That would be really fun.
Also,
it'd be great if they reunited just for that.
It was Coachella one year and then Lasso Cast. Not Lasso Cast. Well, you get to come on this show. Ted Lasso.
I know we're usually a Ted Lasso podcast, but great news. We're the ones that got Outcast back together. And here they are.
Woo!
Oh, man.
I have a question.
What made you guys want to say hey ya to getting back to me?
Oh, man.
Welcome to Lasso Cast. I'm your host for today. Yes, this is Saida Rhodes.
Whoop.
And with me is...
Oh, who should go first in this scenario?
Oh, gosh.
You should.
I'm John Rhodes.
I'm Katie Madison.
And joining us today is our dear friend, Brett from Most Extreme Podcast.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. I'm a massive fan of LassoCast, so this is friends getting back together.
Indeed. Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah, just like, is it Soundgarden? Is that saying that?
Soundgarden? What? Savage Garden?
No, that was Stained.
Stained.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Brett, can you tell us a bit about your podcast and how you guys came to be and where you're located and all those things?
Sure, yeah. So I host a podcast with my co-host Alejandro Joaquin, who is a filmmaker. And both of us...
Alejandro, could you say hello?
Yeah, here he is.
Excellent.
Awesome. Good to have you on.
Great. Thanks. Glad to hear it. So we talk about 2000s pop culture, specifically talking about sort of the trends, TV shows, games, movies, everything that could have happened in the 2000s. And we kind of discuss sort of why it was popular in the zeitgeist, looking at research and looking at Easter eggs and kind of digging through internet research. And then, you know, we have prizes, we have games, we have fun things that we like to do with the audience. And we were very lucky to have the three hosts of LassoCast talk about Survivor last year.
Yeah, that was fun.
Brett, I'll have you know, we just watched the latest episode of Survivor moments before recording.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. I've heard this new season is really good.
It's great. I'm enjoying it.
I'm really enjoying it. There's a genuine superhero on it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, like an Aquaman, if you will.
A beast of a man who is just dominating physically. It's insane.
Kenny, you would want to feast your eyes on this man. He is like 6'7", maybe not that tall, but like truly an Aquaman. Has long hair, just like dives in and out of the water, catching thousands of fish. Oh my gosh.
My man.
He's something to behold.
Exactly.
And I'm assuming they're still shooting in like Fiji or someplace in the tropics.
Yeah, still Fiji.
Yeah, I feel like they spent a lot of time there.
So I guess not to like shamelessly plug, but if people who are listening want to hear a show that's not about bringing the best out of people and being genuinely nice and want to hear a show that's the opposite with John and Cy and Kenny, then check out our show with Survivor with LassoCast.
Absolutely.
And don't just listen to our episode. Listen to a bunch of them. It's good stuff.
Thank you.
You guys do a good job.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're here today. We're chatting. Have you guys gotten tired yet of talking about the show, or do you still find new and exciting things to talk about?
I think
we haven't even talked about it in 6 months.
Yeah, that's true. And I'll tell you right now, Brett, we're going into a pop culture direction today. So we're not tired of talking about pop culture.
No, I'm excited. I'm excited. Yeah, I did a little bit of notes taking. So even though, yeah, let's get into it.
Question one, what's your favorite Stained song?
It's been a while. Hang on.
Oh my gosh. Great joke.
Brett, for today's episode...
Okay.
I want to make sure. Are you caught up on season one and season two?
Absolutely.
Okay, excellent. So because you're an anthropologist, you know, to an extent, you've got all of the cultural references and all of these things. Yeah. For today, I kind of want to talk about some things that we saw in season two of Ted Lasso and how it relates to regular life. And this segment will be called Hot Takes Trendies. So we're just going to get hot takes. All right, so for our first topic, I'd like to go with the theme of relationships. So in season two, we saw that Rebecca and Sam started dating, and their vehicle to get connected was via online dating, right? So they used the banter app that Keeley was promoting, and they had no idea who each other were and all that kind of stuff. So I just want to talk for a moment about how we all feel about online dating. And Brett, we'll start with you. What is your experience with online dating? Are you enjoying it? Do you hate it? Tell me everything.
This is very interesting because I was just having this conversation yesterday with a friend. Well, in terms of the show Ted Lasso, first off, I want to say that banter is an interesting story element that they put in with Keeley promoting banter to the players. And a lot of them at the beginning, I think the show starts promoting it around season one, or is it season two? It's in between, I think, right?
I think it is season two.
I think it's season like, two. Yeah.
First episode, maybe.
Where the players are kind of just doing it more out because they like Keeley and they're friends with her. And then slowly we see that reveal how it uses for people. Yeah, banter is doing it anonymously, so people mm-hmm. you don't know who you're talking to. They do that intro. I know a lot of Ted Lasso fans hate the switch that they do with the cut from Ted on his phone talking to Rebecca. So that's just to kind of mess with you. John, you called that it was going to be Sam. Is that correct?
I believe so.
I don't know how you did that.
Completely. But, I just wanted to see it.
Sure.
And yeah, I think Kenny and John were like long time Sam and Rebecca shippers. Like season one, they're like, oh, it's going to happen.
Very much so. Yeah, because I'm still of a mindset that Rebecca can't get it. Yeah.
And oh, of course. Yeah. So it plays a very interesting story element in the show and how it uses current online dating to kind of talk about our relationships with coworkers, which, you know, that's a whole different discussion, I think, about, you know, employees dating their bosses back and forth. I know a lot of shows have done that before, even like The Office, for example. But yeah, I think in terms of how banter plays into the show, I think it's really smart in talking about like these relationships inside, outside of work, and that they don't even know that they're talking to each other. And it helps for a different kind of, it brings the modern way we talk to each other into a sitcom, which you didn't see previously done effectively, if that makes sense.
Like, I feel like it's like a Love is Blind meets online dating, which I find really cool.
Yeah, that's a good way of looking at it. In terms of real life, it's so funny because I was talking to a friend of mine who was saying, I'm out of college. I've moved to Durham, North Carolina. Shout out where we are, where I am. And I'm trying to, like, how do I meet people? I don't know. How am I supposed to find people now? And I guess, am I supposed to just use these apps? And it's like, using apps because you don't know other ways how to meet people is interesting. But I've I'm not against them in any way. I've used online dating before, but it's definitely very generationally different. It's very it's just, you know, it's a new way of meeting people. I've met people online through, you know, dating apps that I've have great friendships that I've never met in real life. So
that's fair.
It's the whole thing of we've talked a lot of this on social media as well, where the think before you speak is the something that you can do with dating apps that you couldn't do on a regular date.
Yeah.
Right. You can craft responses.
Exactly. Yeah. So how much of that actually reflects, you know, who we are in real life? That's a whole bigger, more Black Mirror discussion. But yeah. You should use dating apps if you think you should. How about that? That's my hot take.
Nice. You should use dating apps if you think you should. Thanks, Brett.
Now, from what I understand, Johnny and Sai, you both are very against dating apps. That's correct?
Yeah.
That is our family standpoint, being as that's how we met.
Yeah.
We don't want anybody else to meet on OkCupid.
I don't even know if it's still a real website. So it worked for us, but it's an interesting way to meet people because you are kind of putting yourself out there as a more curated version of yourself. You've like created a small profile. You've really put together who you want to put out there, and you don't really get to do that in real life. Kenny, what's your experience so far?
Bad. It's bad. It's not fun. I don't enjoy it. Not to just be a grump as I am on so many things, but good night. It is just, it seems that everyone loves to hike and everyone loves breweries. And those are two things that I just cannot abide.
I bet. I think that's more of an online dating in Austin experience, I bet.
No, it's here too.
Oh. Durham too.
Yeah, but I don't want to move to Toledo in order to find my special someone.
I mean, that's what I did.
You moved to Toledo to find your special someone?
I moved to Orlando.
Oh, wow.
From Key West, because I was like, Key West is a lovely place, but dating wise, it's a cesspool.
Well,
I was like, I have to export.
Yeah, you kind of like reversed import export. Mm-hmm. He was like, let me find a gal on the mainland. And then you went back to the main reason. I was there, I
guess. But. Sure. I don't know what city would have my vibe. And I'm afraid
Paris,
that it would.
Probably.
Oh my gosh, you're right. Absolutely. Yeah. I do love baguettes and coffee and walking on the River Thames.
But they do have soup there, Kenny. So.
I mean, they have soup everywhere.
That's true.
I didn't know the River Thames reached Paris.
It does. It really does.
As somebody who studied abroad in France, I can say that it is that the dating apps there do not work. And the best way to meet people is just by finding a friend group and then just going up to somebody random and saying, tu suis parle anglais? And then they're like, yes.
Nice.
And you're like, you'll do.
And then that's all I know.
Yeah. I mean, you'll be able to find every American walking around Paris because it's the people wearing bright blue jeans and New Balance.
Yeah, and American flags.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Also, yeah, Paris. I love Paris. It's one of the coolest cities in the world. I love just spending my time there. Also, most Americans I've ever seen just making out with each other because they're just like, the city of love. And then you're like, please, not in the public. But who knows? Maybe they met on Banter.
Maybe. Maybe.
Maybe.
I do believe that I like the Dubai Air jersey for AFC Richmond more than I like the Banter jersey.
Oh, I kind of agree with that. Yeah.
Looks a little bit more classic kind of Premier League.
I like when they have duct tape over it.
Very cool.
They should sell that. Why don't they sell that? That'd be sweet. They give you a roll of duct tape. They should be
selling a lot of things. I don't know what.
That's the weird thing also about the show in terms of its marketing is any time I've been out in public is in a bigger setting, I will see somebody wearing an AFC Richmond jersey. And it's clever enough that people who haven't seen the show go, cool, he likes soccer. And people who have seen the show go, nice, one of us. So, yeah.
and they were all bought on Etsy.
Right, until they started selling them on their own website for what, like $60 or something?
Yeah.
So
Johnny, calm down. Calm down, Johnny.
Yeah.
My biggest problem with them is that they say on the like the back, like in big letters, Ted Lasso. And I'm like,
no, don't do that.
Let's not.
I just want the
player name.
Right.
Yes. Give me my Obasanya jersey.
Please. It's either that or go crazy and just put like Ted Lasso on Apple TV Plus by Jason Sudeikis and Bill. Mm-hmm. Like put the whole thing on there.
Yeah.
This is a bit of a different question, but do you guys really think it's going to be 3 seasons?
I hope so.
I hope so too, but I don't know.
Well, considering that Bill Lawrence and Brett Goldstein have their next show set up with Harrison Ford.
Yeah.
And Siegel, right?
And I guess Jason Siegel, but let's not beat around the bush. We got Ford, hopefully bringing in his big morning glory energy, which I think we should always get more morning glory energy. Boy howdy, that is my favorite Harrison Ford performance, hands down. I think if they do that narrative correctly, they can definitely push that as this is the next Ted Lasso, even if it is completely different energy, which from just reading the plot synopsis, it will be. But I know because Ted Lasso is their breakout hit and they would have to just back up a massive dump truck, which they've kind of already done for season 3. But also Sudeikis and Brendan Hunt very much seem as if we have a story to tell, and they seem like the kind of folks who would, I don't know, have the type of, and watch me shoot my foot whenever they announce season 4. They seem like the folks who have the type of integrity to just kind of let it lie whenever it's done. Yeah.
I really hope so.
Brett, do you want more than 3 seasons? Oh, sorry, Kenny.
Oh, I was just going to say, if they did do a season 4, it would feel, I don't know, hopefully it would be the thing that I would love to see, but no one else would like to see, which is a radically different show with Ted Lasso and maybe Coach Beer being the only carryovers in a completely new paradigm.
Oh, like they go to space or something?
Yes, exactly.
Right to space.
Yeah.
I'd like to see them as like dolphin trainers in the SeaWorld or something.
Is this your Orlando talking? Is that what you did in Orlando? Wow.
Orlando's always talking through me.
Another shameless plug. I did a an audio drama for a horror podcast network in Los Angeles about a haunted SeaWorld called Ocean Park.
Nice.
That's cool.
Check it out.
Is it out?
Yeah. It's called Ocean Park. It's on the Pagan Angel Network is the name of the network.
Like you do.
Yeah, we did it. It was like, it's got voice actors. It was a ton of fun. It was basically just doing a movie, but with no visual. So
that's cool.
That's very cool.
That's really cool.
To talk more about Ted Lasso.
I think what were your feelings on more than three seasons? Are you hoping for more, or you feel good if we ended three?
I feel like the fan base and the creators of this show are smart enough that they know that the longevity of the show will go farther if they have a lot of closure in this next season. Because if you think about how many shows need that kind of full three-season story arc that go on for too long, say like Lost, for example, where it's just like, I think me and a lot of the fans could even just be like just three seasons, no more, just like you guys were talking about. So I'm excited to see what the next season is. And I'm more just excited because I love this cast and I love this crew that I want to see them grow. And I want to see before just being like, it's Roy Kent, like everywhere he goes. Or I feel really bad specifically for James Lance, who plays Trent Crim, because it's like he's going to, for the rest of his life, have to be known as Trent Crim the Independent everywhere.
Yeah, he's so sexy, though.
Oh, my gosh.
Can I throw out a fan casting?
Please.
Yes.
If the Broccoli family is listening, what do I have to do to get Jeremy Swift to be the Q in the next James Bond movie?
Oh, wow.
Oh, that's
Ben
cool.
Ben Whishaw's so good, though.
He's so good.
Our friend Jeremy Swift would be great.
Yeah.
Especially if the rumor being that they want to completely reboot it so that it takes place in the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
Please.
He can have the Van Dyke.
he could play the double bass.
We were, last year we were campaigning to have Annette Badland cast as M.
Mm-hmm. That would be sweet.
So maybe we can get a whole like Ted Lasso version.
Could they do a James Bond episode?
I mean, if they did four seasons, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, that's the thing of if they do four seasons, the fourth season is them just kind of pranking the audience, being like, we're going completely insane. Yeah,
it's like a Community season.
Right.
Ha!
Which would be great.
Yeah.
Watch.
I'm surprised there hasn't been enough Community people. I feel like there would be some kind of turnover because I know like Gillian Jacobs did Films to Be Buried With, and some other people have kind of worked alongside Brett Goldstein just being in like the comedy era. But I'd like to see, I don't know, I'd like to see like Danny Pudi show up or I don't know. Joel McHale kind of looks like a soccer coach, so
yeah. And Pudi's on another Apple TV Plus show, so
yeah. And that's a great example of the renaissance we're having of different workplace.
Yeah, that's
sitcoms.
A fun show. Saw you had more questions.
Oh, I did, but it's unrelated. So go ahead.
Here we go.
Let's go.
I had a question about how you feel about rom-coms. So episode 5 of season 2, it's clear the Ted Lasso writers have an appreciation for rom-coms. So I would like to hear everyone's favorites. What are some of the ones that you like to revisit? Ones you've never seen before, but you'd like to?
I know you guys were talking on that episode that you did on your recap, how a lot of the things like the When Harry Met Sally reference and other things like that just felt really out of left field. And I definitely kind of echo those thoughts a lot. It definitely feels like using the rom-com genre for that episode was very much trying to pull in sort of that idea of like kindness and being genuine that you get from that genre. That goes alongside sort of breaking that toxic masculinity as the show does. but doing it as Ted and Roy.
Yeah, they have a love affair, and Roy has a love affair with the game, and not just being like a commentator, but like being in the mix.
Yeah.
So I thought that was like an okay vehicle to kind of explain that. But I feel like Kenny and John, maybe one of you didn't love that episode. Was that you, Kenny?
I think Kenny didn't like it as much as I did. I think for me it was just like some of those references were too much. I didn't need some.
Two on the nose. Yeah.
Yeah, I really don't like Rainbow. As we have gone at length about on our bracket episode, and probably the actual recap episode of Rainbow, where I remember that I went off on a little bit of a tirade because I just didn't buy the Roy becoming a coach again. But let's not relitigate this, folks. You can go listen to me complain about that more. I love rom-coms, Cy. I love rom-coms. You know this about me, Queen.
What's your favorite rom-com? Tell us.
Right now, I'm looking at my 50 favorite films in my Letterboxd. and if you don't count Hot Fuzz as a rom-com, When Harry Met Sally.
Yeah.
Definitely. Mm. Which feels like a cliche answer. And also, it is just such a great, well-written movie. With two people that just have such effortless chemistry. And it's like New York is a whole other character in that movie.
Oh, no. I think you're the first podcaster to ever say that.
I knew it. You can't see me, but I'm currently just yesing my fist over here.
Yes.
There is just a sophistication to that movie that is just not present with populist cinema at this point in time.
Yeah, it hasn't been in a while.
Yeah.
I mean, there hasn't been a rom-com since then that's been able to kind of crack the code the way it did.
I was hoping that Marry Me would blow open the doors, but it seemed like critical reception on that one was kind of eh.
It was very sweet. Yeah, it was unrealistic, and I think it knew it was kind of being silly, so I can appreciate that. It was a very sweet movie starring Jennifer Lopez. Yeah.
It's good to see J-Lo and Owen Wilson back at it, though. You know?
What was it? Didn't they do like a monster movie or something before that?
Oh, Monster in Law.
No, that Monster in Law is J-Lo, Jane Fonda, and
Anaconda.
It's Anaconda. Yeah.
With John Voight and Ice Cube.
When you say before that, I'm thinking like 2014.
Yeah.
Not 1998. Whatever the hell that was.
I'm sorry, everybody. I didn't mean to confuse everyone.
I forgive you.
Sai, what's your favorite?
I mean, I've talked about this before as well. I love My Best Friend's Wedding. I think that storyline was so complicated and wonderful and sweet and just great. And then I love the To All the Boys I've Loved Before trilogy. Ooh. I mean, I shed a tear every time. Yes. Go on Netflix. It's so great. These actors are amazing. They're so young and they just like transport you back to a magical time of like high school. It's so great.
Well, Sai, I know you mentioned when you guys were talking about other shows. And I actually, from your recommendation, I finally watched Sex Education, which is also pretty rom-com. And I really love that show.
So great.
It's also, especially in this day and age, has a lot of bold, risky things to say about relationships in this era, especially things like, hey, maybe hooking up is terrible. Maybe you shouldn't be doing this. Like, if it's in things like, it, you know, sex is a great thing, but it can also destroy your life and the people around you. It's more educational than any class I took in high school. So
100%. I felt like I learned so much and it's so open-minded. Literally the storyline of like the two girls, one of the girls is like, I just want like alien sex. I'm like, I didn't know this was like a thing people were like thinking about, but okay.
Yeah.
Like such an interesting show.
Also how it doesn't take place in any particular time period is very interesting, where like the clothes and the cars and everything are like 80s, 90s, but then they also have like cell phones. So yeah, very cool.
Interesting.
I want to live in that house that Otis lives in so bad.
Oh yeah, totally. Ugh. Totally. Wait, Brett, did you say what your favorite rom-com is?
In terms of a film, this is going to sound, I'm sorry that it's pretty controversial, but I really love Annie Hall. I did Annie Hall in high school as a play.
Very cool.
Yeah, and I got to play Alvy, and that was, we just did the spider in the bathroom scene. And that was really fun, and I think it's really good.
I feel like we have to just riff on this a little bit, because it's technically a lobster in the kitchen. No, wait. Never mind.
Is there a spider in the bathroom? Yes. So there's a scene. Lobster in
the kitchen. So there are multiple. No. Oh my gosh, Kenny. Come on. Get with it.
Hey, but lobsters in the kitchen comes back as a reference in 22 Jump Street when they're talking about, like, when we last left our characters.
Oh gosh. It
cuts to them recreating Annie Hall together, and that is very funny.
22 Jump Street, excellent rom-com.
What did you guys think about another Apple TV Plus show, The After Party? Did you like it?
Yes, very much so.
That was fun.
Yes, very much so.
I wasn't big on it. I don't know. I feel like I love Lord Miller, but to me, it felt almost like it was playing it too safe at times.
I also understand that notion. It doesn't seem as bug nuts as something like the Lego Movie.
That's because it was just Chris Miller.
Right.
John, first off, we're all on your side. You don't have to splash out at us. But even then, whenever Lord Miller do something, I can agree with that sentiment. I wasn't as obsessed with it as I was with Ted Lasso, but gosh darn it, the craftsmanship in that show is so dang good.
Yeah, yeah.
End of statement.
I do want to
just write that down on the minutes, though.
Sure, no problem.
I haven't had enough conversations recently where people have said end of statement at the end of it, because I don't know when is this conversation ending, you know?
You got to notify people. We used to
do this podcast via Telegram.
Yeah.
So we'd either have to say stop.
End of podcast. Yeah. I need that when I'm listening to music, just like end of song. Because I don't know. Is there more song? I don't know.
You never know. Those fades can fool you.
But yeah, John, did you say your favorite rom-com?
It's also When Harry Met Sally, but I always give a bonus shout out to They Came Together.
Hey, tell me about it.
Oh, man.
That's a silly one. That's a very silly movie. Yeah.
It's the best.
Also, big shout outs to The Big Sick. Mm-hmm. Wonderful one. And the criminally underrated Plus One. You can watch that on Hulu right now, I believe. Sai, go watch that one tonight. You're going to
Plus One?
Plus One, Queen.
Oh, that's with Jack Quaid from The Boys.
Yeah. So I know him as Jack Quaid from Star Trek Lower Decks because I don't think I've ever brought it up on this podcast, but I like Star Trek. And Maya Erskine from Pen 15.
Sai,
go watch this darn thing tonight. Cancel whatever your plans are. And just get put some slippies on. Get your most comfy blanket. Pour yourself a nice glass of Shard. You're going to have a good time tonight.
This looks promising. Well, I'm on the IMDb. I like it. What I'm seeing.
Will Riesling do? We don't have any Shard.
I also threw out the Riesling, so.
Wow.
It's been open for like a full 6 days. It's past its prime.
But it's in the refrigerator.
I don't know what to tell you.
Does alcohol go bad?
I think wine, not to be a snob, I do have an in-law who's like a small yay. You get like 3 to 4 days, so we gave it a full week. It's over, people. We'll just get another bottle.
Oh, boy.
There's an Arrested Development joke that said that if you left a vodka out too long, it would go bad.
Yeah, that does not go bad.
That does not.
Sure.
I do got another question based on beverages. Guys,
we're going back to
season one, and I think it still kind of carries over in season two. So in season one, very first episode, Ted, arrives on base, on campus, whatever. And after he meets Rebecca, he's like launched into a press conference. And so then during the press conference, he's like nervous and all this stuff. And he takes a sip of water. It turns out it's seltzer water. And it's like, and like, spits it all over the place. And then we learn that he
real
doesn't
quick,
like it.
What was that sound that he made?
I don't know.
Okay.
Just the spitting sound.
That's when you're editing this, just put the clip
right.
Alejandro saying his name.
Again. Yeah. Yeah.
Or the vomit from The Exorcist. I'll throw that in there.
I'm not familiar. That does not sound good though. Oh. Anyways,
you gotta get some slippers on, get a comfy blanket, get your Riesling,
just throw on The Exorcist.
Yeah,
what a doubleheader! Plus one in The Exorcist. Sounds great.
What do I start with?
But of course, you start with The Exorcist because you want to set the palette, of course, and then you finish with plus one.
End on a high note, sure, can do.
Yeah,
I'll check back in. So my question is, folks, one, is everyone here pro seltzer? Two, does everyone here say seltzer, or are we sparkling water people? I'm just curious.
Good question.
I am pro seltzer.
Okay.
I just had one not even an hour ago.
What brand? Who are you seltzing with?
Who am I seltzing with, which is the name of our spinoff podcast.
Yeah, that's a new podcast.
Have you noticed how Let's Start a Podcast has become this generation's Let's Start a Band?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's true.
It's way easier. It requires much less talent.
But do you know the amount of dudes who are like, bro, dude, we got to start a podcast. We talk all about like everything, bro.
Yeah. Yeah. I hear it all the time.
What are you going to talk about? Oh, dude, we just talk about everything. Oh, no.
It's super approachable, super casual.
I have to drop this bomb that I found out within the past
breaking news
here. Breaking news in the sense that this has been going on for a while. So we're all familiar with the band Fun, period. Yeah.
Yes.
I thought it was an exclamation mark.
Sorry.
No, it's very mundane. And Fun. Of course, Jack Antonoff has gone on to much acclaim, leaving me to wonder, where the heck did Nate Roos go? The lead singer of Fun, who released his one solo album and just kind of pieced out. Turns out he is hosting a Lethal Weapon TV show podcast with his friends.
Oh, that's not where I thought this was going to go.
That's correct.
Did you just say Lethal Weapon TV show?
Oh, that is correct, John Rhodes.
I did not know there was a TV show.
There was. It was on for three seasons. Two seasons with Clayne Crawford and Damon Wayans. I only remember that it's Clayne Crawford because Nate Roos's podcast is called ClayneCast.
Oh, no. Isn't that the guy that got... Wait. Didn't he get in trouble for something?
Yeah, didn't he get replaced by like Sean William Scott or something?
Yes, he got fired. I don't think Nate Roos has gone off the deep end, but he's very much just like, I have moved on to other things in my life.
That's amazing.
I am fascinated by this turn. Anyways, the television show that we are talking about is Ted Lasso. Mm-hmm. Now, fan theories.
Now, hold on a second.
How many people have turned this off?
Wait. Do you say how many people have turned this off by now?
I Lethal Weapon, that's where I draw the line. Yeah.
We always veer pretty far from the plan. Okay, while we're on the subject of Fun, though, I always talk to John about this. Did anyone else grow up listening to The Format? Did anyone listen to this band and fall in love with them?
The Format.
The Format. It had Nate Roos in it.
Brett's definitely too young.
Oh.
I have seen their album covers before.
Actually, Sai, you should go back on Most Extreme and just talk about The Format.
Yeah, maybe I will. Please have it on. I'd love to. It was a magical time. Kenny, no Format?
No, although, spoiler alert, one of our new patrons, very much a fan of The Format before Fun took off.
Wait, really?
Wow.
How do you know that?
Yeah.
Because the friend of Kenny's.
Oh, I'm like, is that like in your profile? Or what does that mean?
I had to subscribe to the Patreon and tell you my love for The Format.
We got a message. I was like, please do a Format episode for Patreon.
Super specific, but I guess you're paying us cash to do it. All right.
Kenny, I just sent you a link also to The Format so you can listen to them too.
Yes, I do like seltzer.
I like it too.
Okay.
I don't know what my favorite brand is, though. I grew up drinking Ritz, which is very intense bubbles, like very high on the CO2.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm in Florida or like on the East Coast, wherever it's available, I'll drink Ritz. But here in Texas, I'll just get the HEB brand.
Yep.
Do you guys?
There's some good.
Do you guys live close to a Buc-ee's?
No.
Like 35 minutes or so.
So Ted Lasso is a great show.
It's a great show.
I love Ted Lasso.
Yeah.
And speaking of Ted Lasso, yeah. Another question, folks. This one will also go back to a little bit of season one and season two, I guess. So throughout the show, we've seen tons and tons of books referenced on the show. In season one, Ted curates books to give to each of the players. We know they like to read there. So I'm just kind of wondering if there are books or anything that you read that you think other people should read too. They could be magazines. They could be screenplays that you've read that are amazing. What should people be reading?
I really think it's interesting how they chose Prince of Tides as Sharon's favorite book. Mainly just because it's all about a relationship with a psychologist. And it's... how they do a bunch of different stuff, even choosing like Wrinkle of Time or Beauty of the Damned for Jamie, things like that, that they're very particular on what book they choose and what they for every character. So yeah, I think they're all good books. You should check them out. But that's definitely something that I thought about when I was watching the show. I was like, oh, interesting that chose Prince of Tides. So books people should be reading if you haven't read All the Light We Cannot See, that is one that everyone should read. I'm trying to think of things I've read recently. If you haven't read Medallion Status by John Hodgman, you should definitely check that out.
Love John Hodgman.
Fantastic writer. Especially if you want cool stories about road trips across America, I definitely recommend it. I'm currently reading a book called How Do You Live, which is Japanese novel by Ginzaburo Yoshino, which is a story about a 15-year-old boy and his uncle and about spiritual growth and being a teenager. And it will be adapted by Hayao Miyazaki as his last film. So
he says.
He says. How Do You Live? So it's going to be very cathartic. But it's an interesting book about growing up in pre-World War II Japan. And it's a very beautiful book about spiritual growth and about maturity and seeing life through the eyes of a teenager before World War II. And even as when the uncle grew up even way before that. So
nice.
If you like Hayao Miyazaki stuff, the book definitely comes off very much that kind of vibe. So,
yeah, that's awesome. That's a good one.
Johnny, what about you?
I mean, I always recommend this book, and I even brought it up on the podcast that we just did with the Coach Beard's book club, but it's Oranges by John McPhee. It's a very quick, easy read. Basically, it's just John McPhee. He was a writer for The New Yorker in like the 60s through the 80s or something. And it's just a collection of stories that he wrote over the course of a decade, just going down to Florida, hanging out with orange men and people in the groves, and everything you could ever want to know about oranges is in that book. And it's just fascinating because he's a very good writer.
Nice.
I'm going to check this out. Yeah.
Love it.
Kendall, what say you?
Oh boy, howdy. The book that I'm currently reading, The Oral History of Mad Max Fury Road, which is a fascinating read. I knew that it was a hard production, but I did not have any idea just how impossible that movie was. Blood, Sweat, and Chrome. But if we're going to inspirational literature, or literature that is not inspirational, but influential, because right now, let's be honest, I'm tearing through a whole mess of Star Trek tie-in fiction.
nice.
Boy, howdy. I am reading a big stinker of a book right now in there. But something that is not nearly as niche would probably be, I'm thinking of the comic Moon Cop, which, title aside, is actually a very melancholic, kind of sad story about a cop that is assigned to the moon at the end of its occupation because everyone has kind of forgotten about how cool it is to live on the moon. And so it's just kind of this lovely little meditation about trying to find satisfaction where you are.
I love that.
Golly gee, I forgot all about how cool it was to live on the moon.
Yeah.
Kenny, have you listened to the Blank Check episode about Mad Max Fury Road?
Oh, King.
Is there an episode you haven't listened to?
Yes, there are 16 of them.
Okay.
Hey, can I ask biggest inspirations for this show in terms of your podcasting here? Because I know you guys have done the show and other shows before, but like, what are the bigger inspirations for you guys?
Oh, that's interesting.
Other podcasts?
Yeah, the ones that are like, now I want to be a podcaster.
Oh, man. Freedom.
Yeah, I think we took a chance probably based on Freedom. Like, oh, they're just sticking around. Surely we can at least do that. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, man. I mean, forever.
I like to aim for the Blank Check format of half bits and half actual substance. Mm-hmm. I think that strikes the appropriate tone where you're not too self-involved, but you're not too, well, I guess both of those things could be self-involved. Yeah.
Yeah.
It makes it, to me, very accessible.
Where else are you going to hear, you know, a recap of the pilot of Ted Lasso, but also about the airport in what city were you from? The William Pogue Airport.
William R. Pogue Municipal Airport in Sand Springs, Oklahoma. Yeah. Hi, Dad.
Sand Springs, yeah.
Yeah.
Hi.
Mr. Madison.
Hello.
I'm Alejandro Joaquin.
That's right.
He's the Groot of this episode.
Mm-hmm.
Yo soy Groot.
Sorry, you didn't give us a book, did you?
Yeah,
I don't think I did. The last book I read, I thoroughly enjoyed. It was Please Don't Sit on My Bed in Your Outside Clothes. And it's by Phoebe Robinson, who was, you know, the creator and co-star of Two Dope Queens. And she's hysterical. And the title of that book just spoke to my heart in so many ways because I have so many just like house neuroses. And I just really connected with that title. And the book was just, it was amazing. Like she wrote it during or like right after the pandemic. So it's a lot about her and her partner, you know, kind of living together for the first time in New York and kind of dealing with the pandemic and also just addressing like a lot of the racial things that we dealt with, you know, in 2020, just all kinds of stuff, but coming at it in kind of a funny way, but also a really truthful way. And it's a great book. So fun.
The title was made for you.
Truly made for me. Also, here are her other titles, because we were definitely cut from the same cloth. In 2016, her book was called You Can't Touch My Hair. I appreciate that. 2018, yeah. She also had a book called Everything's Trash, But It's Okay. So we're literally just very much on the same page, and I love her.
If only movies had titles this good. And the last one was Everything Everywhere All at Once, and that's the perfect title for the perfect film. So
yeah,
they actually captured the film really well with that title. That's a great one.
Yeah, John, did you see it at South by?
I did.
Man, yeah, I'm so jealous.
At the premiere. It was really an experience. Yeah, loved it.
That would have been amazing.
That's hard.
Just
to
a couple
pitch
thousand
to
people.
Too.
Crying together.
Aww.
Yeah.
I had to pitch it. I'm like, it's kind of like a Matrix movie, but it's made by the people who made the Turn Down for What music video. So like, imagine that.
Yeah.
And then people go, what's that mean? And I'm like, ugh.
Like, just go.
Just see it. But yeah, in terms of, yeah, the pop culture on Ted Lasso, I think they throw so much stuff out there in terms of the stuff. I know that there's been a lot of talk, especially from the fans, about how much they don't like how reference heavy the show is, which I think is why at the end of season two, don't they like misquote Dumbledore or something just to kind of screw with the fans? Yeah. Like, gotcha. Yeah. We know, you know, we're listening to you.
Oh, that's interesting.
I feel like it's more an extension of character as opposed to some other comedy shows where the pop culture reference would just be the joke.
Yeah.
And there's like, for instance, the Gay Talese reference is such a hyper specific reference, but it just goes by in the Trent Crim episode so quickly. I like pop culture.
Yeah, it's not like Family Guy style references.
No.
It's
just right. Like,
it's them allowing the writers to put truly all of themselves into the characters.
I don't feel like it feels prerequisite at humor that much. I mean, there's little things that, you know, like Ted giving Jamie the Allen Iverson like practice speech, or or like saying this team's not in sync, and then they're doing a in sync dance, things like that, which is like to get
that's
it fully
so clever though.
Right. Yeah. It's super clever because you don't have to have gotten the reference to or to understand the joke effectively.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
Other than things like what we were saying with like the Harry Met Sally stuff, or or even fully copying movies sometimes, which if you haven't seen After Hours, you're still going to be able to get it, but you're going to be like, ah, now I get all the references.
Yeah.
Agreed.
And even that one is still more of a tonal match as opposed to a beat for beat match.
Right.
Which
an homage.
Lovely. That's
right.
Yeah.
That's what all sitcoms have to do at some point. Yeah. Do you think they'll ever do a musical episode?
No.
Hmm.
I don't know why I said that like a printer.
You've got Hannah Waddingham.
Yeah.
And she's sung in every season, so.
Maybe they'll do a special. Like,
I'd be
3 years
with
from now.
Special.
Yeah.
Even the songs that they make Rebecca sing are very important. Like, you don't have to know Let It Go or Never Gonna Give You Up, because what she's saying in those lyrics are important to the scene, not as much like, get it, it's Frozen.
Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah.
I wouldn't hate a musical episode.
If they end up doing like 4 or 5 seasons, they're going to have to do the live episode. They're going to have to do the musical.
Oh, give me a live episode. War. Love a freaking live episode. You kidding me, guy?
I do think that Abbott Elementary is going to get a live episode before Ted Lasso.
That'd be cool.
If they did it straight, like live studio audience style. That feels like the that or Atlanta feel like they're going to happen. Atlanta mainly just because they love to change the format a lot, especially with like the episode Ban, where they like shot it on a camcorder.
I love those people.
Are you on season 3 yet?
I am not. I'm going to probably wait till the whole thing comes out. Also, I don't know, the marketing and everything didn't grab my attention. The same way that the first 2 seasons did. I also kind of forgot about it. I was like, oh wait, this season 3 is out. Oh
yeah.
FX is just as bad as Apple with promotion.
Right. I mean, everything now in all television is all word of mouth. That's the only way anybody hears anything, which is good and bad. But yeah, in terms of if you're doing television marketing, I don't know how that's even possible anymore.
Should we do a Atlanta podcast?
Is there an Atlanta podcast?
There's got to be, yeah.
We'd have to go back in time.
I'm not sure that I'm one of the right people to talk about Atlanta.
Sure. Sure. I don't know what you mean.
Sure. I would just be going, I liked it. Here's, I like Atlanta.
Just keeping that pitch real high.
I like all of them. Donald Glover, what a talent, you know?
What a talent.
Come back to Orlando, John.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of a lot of what I think the biggest problem that I think people have with the Ted Lasso kind of pop culture reference humor is so much it's the same kind of rhythm of character. Oh, gee, this thing happened in my life, Ted. That's just like reference and the reference. And then the character goes, I don't know what you're talking about. And then it's that joke repeated over and over and over again. And I think the funny part is that is not the reference, but when people go, that's not funny, is sometimes funnier than the actual joke.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
I'll always prefer that.
That's why we have Stanley and Waldorf in The Muppets. So
that's what they're for.
Be like, that's not funny. So.
Are those the two like old guys like in the movie theater?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And both of them are named after hotel chains. And the joke being that like Stanler and Waldorf, like one of them is like a really like fancy one, and one's kind of like mid tier, kind of like lower. So
that's funny. I've got a couple more questions for y'all.
Let's do it.
Ruby.
Cool. All right. So here's another question. On the show, Roy Kent is the legend of football in the world of Ted Lasso, right? He's got a song. Everyone loves him. It's great. Who have been some of your like athletic influencers like in your life? Like, who are the people that you idolized growing up or currently feel that way about now?
Just from the world of athletes?
Yeah, just in the world of athletes. We'll keep it there.
My biggest like sports idol growing up was Cal Ripken Jr. from the Baltimore Orioles.
And that's a baseball team.
Baseball player, yeah. Mm-hmm. He wasn't a flashy player. He wasn't even like a home run hitter. He was just reliable. And he owns the record for the most consecutive games played. Like, he played, I don't know, like 2,200 straight games or something without getting hurt or missing time for anything. I was enamored by him and his reliability and his ability to avoid injury for so long.
Was he like, I think there's like maybe three personality types maybe with like celebrity style athletes. You've got like a Roy Kent, who's like a little grumpy. You've got a Jamie Tartt, who's more of a showboat. And then you've got maybe like a Michael Jordan, who's like maybe in the middle, like a little showboaty, but also just like a congenial person. Where was Kyle?
There's got to be a fourth one where he's just quiet and friendly.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And that's your guy?
Grumpy, wasn't showboaty. Yeah. And Kyle Ripken.
All right.
Cal,
I apologize.
Kyle Ripken Sr.
Yeah, Kyle Ripken.
That's right.
I apologize. Kenny, what about you?
Whenever I was a little boy, I was really big into the Dallas Cowboys quarterback, Troy Aikman, so much so that I got his autograph twice, including in his children's book, Things Change, where he talked about how things change. And I would say that he fits into that fourth category of just kind of shows up and does the work and wasn't too showboaty about it. Outside of just being young and my parents being into football, I can't say that anything that would specifically draw me to him in terms of being a personality. Mm-hmm. I like The Last Dance, though. Boy, that was fantastic. A good miniseries.
That was a fun time.
That's okay. That's the other thing. Like, now there's a Magic Johnson one on Apple TV Plus, and I'm like, are we getting every single athlete's getting their last dance? It's going to be annoying after a while.
For the next 100 years.
Yeah. Chad Ochocinco had an 8-part series on Quibi. And
his would be interesting.
Sire, are you still? You? Oh, sure. I want to shout out, especially where I live is all about college basketball, which is we have UNC Chapel Hill and Duke, which are two of the biggest schools in college basketball. I do want to give a shout out to the current head coach of UNC Chapel Hill, Hubert Davis, who walked into a scenario as assistant coach kind of after Roy Williams sort of just retired on April Fool's Day, which is the worst time to make any big announcement. And then now just getting a new group of guys. And at the beginning of the season was not looking like they were going to make any kind of movement. And then took them all the way to the championship. And they beat Duke at home, and they beat Duke in the Final Four. He's made a huge name for himself and really found a connection with the team. And
And he's from Winston-Salem.
Oh.
Yeah, he is from Winston. And he played in Carolina before he went to the NBA. So he's 100% earned his right to be the coach, and he's shown that he's super successful, and he's going to make the team really good.
Can't What's say his name?
Hubert Davis.
Hubert Davis. Cool.
He is a great man.
I like that.
Sire, are you still doing volleyball?
How thoughtful of you to ask. I am not still doing volleyball. For the listener, I don't remember if we talked about it on this show or somewhere else, but I was doing a clinic with a friend where we would pay $30 per session to go, you know, bump some balls with some other gals. I was not good at it. So I didn't feel as compelled to continue waking up so early and paying the $30. But my friend who was doing this with me, she just did a volleyball tournament yesterday. I went, I cheered her on. She did great. Her team, they were all novices, so they didn't actually, you know, get past the first round. But all things considered, she was significantly better than we first started doing volleyball. So I'm actually considering, like, oh, maybe I'll get back into it. Because it is so much fun to play. But no, Brett, I'm not regularly bumping around.
Oh, I'm sorry I brought it up.
It's okay. It's not a sore subject. I feel at peace with it. It's okay. I guess in terms of my favorite athlete, I would say it's been Serena Williams, like, throughout my whole life, just because she's incredible. And she's probably the first athlete that looked like me, yes, because she's Black, but also, like, she's extremely muscular. And that's something that I've always been, like, just, like, on the fence about being, because, like, you know, women are allegedly supposed to look like very feminine and this and that. And I feel like even though I love working out, I'm often very self-conscious of, like, don't look too muscular because then you're gonna look more masculine. And I feel like Serena Williams is just a badass in all senses. And she's extremely muscular so that she can kick ass on the court. And she's very confident about that. And so she's been, like, a little inspirational in that sense for me. And then as a child, my family loved the Orlando Magic. So we were big fans of Shaq. He was just, like, the guy who came to town and, like, you know, rose our city up, which was really cool.
Yeah. And then left.
And then left, as everyone does.
Yeah.
It's wild seeing Dwight Howard on the Lakers now. I'm like, damn, you really got out there. Okay. So, yeah.
Still playing.
Still playing. So this next one is about a different kind of relationship. So we see a lot of special relationships in Ted Lasso. We've got Ted and Beard, who are very close. We've got Rebecca and Keeley, who are very close. So I'm just wondering, in terms of, like, iconic duos in the history of pop culture or not so popular culture, like, who are some of your favorites? So, like, my number one successful duo is probably Mary-Kate and Ashley. Like, they defined, like, my childhood. I saw so many of their movies, so many of their TV shows. Like, they were just amazing. And then if we went with, like, maybe a romantic duo, I mean, it hasn't been super successful, but I love following Jennifer Lopez. Like, anyone she's dating, I just need to know, will it work out or not? So that's someone who I would follow. But I would say Mary-Kate and Ashley are the most successful duo I've ever seen. They're so great. Anyone else have a duo they like?
Oh, man. What an interesting question.
I'm definitely a big fan of Ben Affleck and Jennifer Lopez, and was so happy that they got back together.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wallace and Gromit.
See.
That's a great one.
It's a good one.
Perhaps this is too niche, but I feel like this is the right crowd because there exists a longer cut of the Ben Affleck, Jennifer Lopez film Jersey Girl. I guess most famously now just Kevin Smith movie. And I would really like to see that. Because apparently...
Oh, the longer cut?
Yes. Yeah. It sounds more... I don't know. It's been described as Kevin Smith's Jerry Maguire, which is a very odd thing to try and picture.
That's interesting.
But also Jerry Maguire, a film that I very much enjoy.
Yes.
Let's see. Looking at duos here. Let's look at these
duos. Mulder and Scully.
Great.
Legendary TV duo.
Who's that?
From the X-Files.
Classic.
Oh, okay.
Until they started dating, that was weird.
Yeah.
Chris Tucker and Jackie Chan.
Yes, yes, yes. Rush Hour was such a fun time.
Yes. and then what was the other one I just was thinking of that was, like, the best? Oh, Marty McFly and Doc Brown.
Yeah, that was a good one.
I've been on the record before. I've said this before, but I think Doc Brown might be my favorite character in fiction.
Oh, I love that.
I love that.
Yeah.
That's so great.
Everything about it. Unfortunately, the Back to the Future ride is no longer there.
Oh, man, I loved that ride.
That's wild that they took that out.
That's like stupid. A classic. Like, you can't get rid of that.
No, yeah. I figured that it's got enough juice to just still be there.
Isn't that where they put the Simpsons ride?
Yes.
Oh. Yeah.
I was on that ride like a couple months ago. My friend threw up on it.
On the Simpsons ride?
That's a bummer.
It's kind of
shouldn't have eaten all around. Of those donuts.
Yeah, or all that duff.
Okay, this is not a Ted Lasso question at all, but I'm very curious. Favorite ride?
I'm not a ride person.
The Simpsons?
Ooh, Spider-Man. I used to love the Spider-Man ride.
Oh, yeah.
There's a Spider-Man ride?
Oh, yeah. At Islands of Adventure? So fun.
I used to. That is a fun one. That's tough. I like rides. I used to love the Buzz Lightyear ride at Disney.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's interactive.
Oh, that's right.
That's always fun.
That's how y'all can have this be an answer. You can answer this because y'all lived in or around Florida.
Yeah. Spent a lot of time at those places.
In the heart of it
all. As opposed to this guy, where if we were to go to a theme park, it would be a real struggle.
That's so funny. Yeah. You're like, no, I don't have an answer. What do you mean my favorite ride?
Yeah.
Even at like a carnival?
Only went to the Tulsa State Fair once, because it's just super expensive to go.
When I was a kid, I always dreamed. I was like, you guys have every kid does, like, you just keep drawing, like, what if I had my own theme park? And for some reason, I was why isn't there one in Oklahoma? Let's just put one there. And now, as an adult, I'm like, why would I put it in Oklahoma?
Yeah.
There's Frontier City in Oklahoma City, which I never went to. There was also Bell's in Tulsa, the now defunct Bell's, home of the Zingo, which I read on. But also, I was never I rode on the Zingo once, twice,
three times the Zingo.
I hated heights so much. Heights are the worst. I even have fears of stepping on stepladders. It's a problem. That being said, I remember the Rock and Roller Coaster from Disney World being a fun
heck
time.
Oh yes, that thing rules.
Oh, that was so stressful. I remember doing that like senior year of high school, because I'm like, I don't really like roller coasters. My friends were like, let's do it. So stressful, even though it's like mostly simulation.
When I was a kid, Universal was amazing because it was mostly just those movie rides. So it was like King Kong, Jaws, and then Twister, I think, was at MGM or whatever Disney Studios now. But those kind of rides I've always loved too.
Mm-hmm.
Do you like movies, John?
Kind of.
What if I told you you could ride the movies?
What?
Yep. The movie ride was great.
That was the catchphrase at Universal for the longest time. Yeah. Ride the movies.
Ride the movies.
Yeah.
Which is so dope.
Yeah. Here's the thing. I was cheesed that my family never took me to the Star Trek The Experience that was in Las Vegas.
I don't think
there's anything else that my family would have been just jumping to do in Las Vegas. They would just probably be beholden to take me to Star Trek The Experience because they knew that they would want to check that off. Although my family likes Star Trek. I talk about Star Trek a lot for a Ted Lasso podcast.
You're a big fan.
I finally got Paramount Plus. But
you're the second one.
I know, right? But finally, just so I could watch Legends of the Hidden Temple.
Very nice.
Which was also filmed at Universal.
But
favorite duo? Probably Bert and Ernie, I guess.
You and classic. Your puppets.
I love the Muppets. I do. The Muppet thing at Universal, at Disney's pretty fun too.
Yeah. Oh, also like Nick Frost and Simon Pegg, top of mind.
Who is that?
Yeah. One of my faves. From the Cornetto trilogy.
Hot Fuzz.
Who are the Cornetto? Okay, thank you. Thank you for breaking Paul.
Yeah, the fourth. The unofficial.
They were in Phineas and Ferb together. I don't know.
Oh, that's another good duo.
I loved Phineas and Ferb. Oh, what a fun show.
Zach and Cody, who can forget. Mm-hmm. Josh and Drake.
I never got into that.
I never watched
Drake and Josh.
Kel and Keenan.
Yes. Did you identify more with Kel or with Keenan? And granted, I get you may not have identified fully.
But... Kel, because of his orange soda addiction.
I see.
I had the same addiction.
When I was 12 years old, I got to star in a feature-length independent film in which there was a running gag about orange soda, and then we had to cut it the day before we started shooting that gag, which is just like all the kids drink orange soda, and because of Kenan and Kel, and we replaced it with cream soda. But cream soda looks like beer on camera. Mm-hmm. So the whole movie looks like all these 12-year-olds are drinking beer the whole time.
Yeah.
That is how I tasted my first sip of beer. I was 8 years old and my mom had some beer out in a cup. And I was like, ooh, I love cream soda. We've got cream soda in the fridge. I'll just have a little sip. And then just immediately spit it out because beer is gross and icky and should not exist. And I don't understand how people like it.
I don't really like this IPA, but if you've had the Pilsner, bro, it's really good.
You got it. Like that.
You, come on, Johnny. Yeah, come on.
All right, so we've got our duos. I think I'm going to end with this last question.
Here we go.
Let's hear it.
It's a tricky one. Oh. So we can... pivot if there are no answers. Okay, so by the end of season 2, our good friend Keely has risen from being an influencer to a, you know, well sought after woman opening her own PR firm, right? Mm-hmm. So I just kind of want to talk about influencer culture. What are our likes? What are our dislikes? Are there people that we all follow? People that you're like, yes, they're an influencer, but I swear by them and they're so great. I just want to, you know, end on that one.
It's a good question.
And I'm happy to start. So I think the people who I follow most are people doing things with food and then people doing things with home design. So like we are, I'm going to speak for both of us. We are big fans of Leanne Ford. She's like an interior designer and she like whitewashes everything and it all looks so very like colonial and amazing. Big fan of her stuff. And then on the food side, there is an influencer here with an Instagram handle of Taste of Coco. And she just like runs around the city making cute little videos, eating really fantastic food. And then sometimes she's not even eating. Sometimes she's like, oh, I'm just like hiking in a spring or like hiking and then going in a spring, whatever you do. And she's amazing at it. She's so freaking cute. So I swear by her and I swear by Leanne Ford.
So so is that what you guys did a Selena and Chef episode?
That's also true. We also I don't follow Selena as much as I should, but if Selena's gonna have a show and tell us what to cook, well, yeah, we're gonna make half the recipes. Like, of course. Yeah. No question. So yeah.
Have you watched that yet, Brett?
No, but I did watch Only Murders in the Building, which I don't know if I would completely categorize that as a sitcom in terms of sort of the renaissance that we're having right now, but I did enjoy it. It kept me motivated to watch every week because as somebody who hates binging shows and prefers the weekly format, I think it was really good.
Yeah. I'm looking through my Instagram right now to see if I follow any anymore.
And it doesn't just have to be on Instagram. This could be just a human being who you're like, if they say it, I believe it.
Yeah, I'm...
Oh. Go ahead, Kenny.
No, Johnny, you go ahead, my friend.
Well, I'm trying to remember his name. Sai, I've shown you a bunch of his videos and we've had some great laughs together. It's like Matt Buchel or Matt...
Is it the guy... Did you ever think you'd go to grad school? That guy?
Yeah. Matt Bocelli, if maybe is how you pronounce it, on Twitter. He's definitely one I follow. He cracks me up. Now he writes for Fallon. He got discovered.
Wow, that's amazing.
Hired. But yeah, he does some great stuff.
I love that.
I am not on Instagram because social media just seems to be difficult. That being said, I'm on Twitter and frequently just follow film critics because that's where my predisposition to following influencers are following.
Those are my influencers.
Like,
right. Yeah. Hi HT. Hi Jacob. Hi Chris. Hi everyone from Slash Film. Devendra, David Hart. Yeah.
Oh, hi Devendra. Keep going, Ken.
Hi, Jeff. Don't forget Jeff. Hello, Jeff.
Hey, Jeff.
Spell with two N's and one T. That being said, I follow YouTube folks, specifically YouTube folks that are a little bit more erudite in terms of what they say. I'm very much just a guy who's like, right, what about the semiotics of the, let's talk about semiotics. Let's talk about what this means. Let's talk about that. Just basically what this means. Accented Cinema is a new YouTube channel. Well, not a new YouTube channel, but it's
I love that show.
Love his work. It's been fabulous. Mikey Newman, Movies with Mikey, film criticism with, or not even film criticism so much as film analysis that is places a heavy, heavy, heavy emphasis on empathy and just kind of believing that folks are doing these things with the best of intentions, which especially on YouTube is such a, I feel is such a rare perspective to just go, no, they probably mean well. Which is fabulous. The Royal Ocean Film Society. I like to stop whatever I'm doing
and
watch them.
Hmm.
Broe Deschanel is pretty darn good. Maggie Mae Fish, pretty darn good.
Tell me about Broe Deschanel. What is that?
Broe Deschanel is a fabulous Canadian YouTuber who talks more about not just movies, but media in general. She has a fabulous video about why no one wins the fast fashion debate, because I am not someone that necessarily knows what fast fashion was. I think I was kind of aware of it.
We can talk at length offline on that. Continue, though.
Sure. And she's just fabulous. She has a lovely video about licorice pizza and the quote-unquote problematic nature of the central relationship.
Oh, I've seen that one.
It's a silly dialogue. I think because
it's context talking about, like, does depiction mean endorsement? And it talks about even Call Me by Your Name and a lot of movies is like, just because a film is depicting something doesn't mean it's saying this is good, you know?
Yes. Right. Yeah, I was surprised that debate wasn't had whenever Call Me By Your Name came out, because I was going, he's underage. Why is
that? That was my biggest problem with that movie, was it was like, this is should be wrong, guys. But it's also the most dreamlike film I've ever seen. So,
yeah.
Broe Deschanel, fabulous watch. Just she has a video about Love Island.
That's what they called me in high school, too, was Broe Deschanel. Walking down the street, there he is.
Very adorable.
Mm-hmm.
Those are my influencers, Si. Are those good answers?
Those are great answers.
Oh, and also Film Crit Hulk on Twitter. Love to read.
Film Crit Hulk. Boy, do you love Frim?
Frim Crit Hulk.
Boy, if somebody said, "Who's the biggest fan of Frim Crit Hulk?" I'd say.
It's quite a slur probably, you got going.
Johnny, are probably you okay? Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm a Film Crit Hulk. Yeah.
If this is your first episode of LassoCast, I'm sorry.
This
might be the best one to start with, yeah.
We should probably just stop the podcast here, really. Like the existence of the podcast.
Yes, that's right.
End it here.
You got a whole new season coming.
Yeah, you're right.
Hold on. There's a third season of Ted Lasso coming? What?
Do we know when it'll be ready? Have they told us?
Like 2023, right?
They just started.
It'll be this August, probably. Something like that.
How quickly do they turn it around? Like, if they finish filming in a month or two from now, could they crank it out by the end of the year?
Well, they'll crank them out as they go. Like how last year when they sent the screeners out, the last few episodes weren't finished.
Okay.
So they'll finish the first few to have them ready and then continue working on the last bit while they're going.
Okay, I have a question. Let me pivot to Brett real quick, and then I have more questions on the production side.
Cool.
Brett, did you have an influencer that you wanted to speak to? Anyone that you like to follow?
I follow a lot of film critics as well. Big on everyone from the Filmcast and / Film Daily, so I follow everyone over there. I also follow Mega64, which is a YouTube comedy group, and they also talk about films and things like that, and they do a lot of that. Those are the only ones that can come to mind. But those are typically, if I want recommendations for stuff, I'll go to like pop culture imports from HT or things like that. Yeah.
Love it.
We follow a lot of the same people.
I think that's how we might have started getting connected. Probably. I was like, wow, we're in the same group of people.
Yeah.
That was sick songy, Kenny.
I feel like the three of you have so much in common. I'm like, I don't know that I follow any of those people, but perhaps I will.
Yeah.
Okay, circling back to Ted Lasso, let's talk. Are we thinking, yes, we will have a season this year? And two, when we say they were not, quote, finished, is that a ruse, or are they literally editing, like, between episodes?
It's the VFX. Like, they have the edit locked.
Okay.
By that time. But there's, like, I think it was Drew McWeeny was telling us, like, the last two episodes, maybe?
Like,
The matches were just in front of blue screens and stuff, like they didn't have the crowd put in and stuff like that.
Okay, finishing touches, but edits are locked in. We're not waiting on audience reaction to like tweak things.
All right. Yeah, it's just VFX stuff, because that probably takes, outside of shooting it, that probably is what takes the longest.
And for all the stuff on the field, they do like full previs and everything for it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I listened to the South By thing, so I was assuming that it seemed like they have it pretty laid out ahead of time so they can just continue to shoot all day.
Yep. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Cool.
I'm very excited for this next season.
Yeah, me too. Agreed. I'm ready for it.
I'm glad you were able to come on and join us today, Brett. This was a thrill. Alejandro, glad also, you were kind of on. Cue Alejandro. Brett, I think you already gave your handle, but do you want to give it one more time? Where can people start following Most Extreme?
Yeah, so you can follow Most Extreme Podcast. That's MOSTXTREME podcast, and you can find it everywhere it's available. And you can follow on Instagram, on Twitter with the handle MOSTXTREMEPOD, Most Extreme Pod, on both Twitter and Instagram. And yeah, you can follow me online as well. My handle should be with all those things. It's The Bredicus on Instagram. And you can see Dune, which is on HBO Max at the time, the Oscar award winning film. Watch that if you haven't been to Arrakis yet.
Are you doing a Dune plug? Just like...
It's become a bit that we were doing on the end of every episode of our show, and on any other show we go on, we will plug the movie Dune.
Excellent.
I mean,
sorry, we stole that from Demi Abijuwimbe, who plugs I, Tonya at the end of everything. So, Demi, if you're listening, we just wanted to follow your path.
Oh my god, Demi, if you're listening, big fans,
Demi.
Unfortunately, the September thing is over, but I mean, continue what you're doing.
Yeah, but he said that last year, and he did it. So who knows?
Yeah, well, his last call you Lana out, Del Rey. Wait, what?
his Lana Del Rey video that he just released was aces.
Beautiful.
Wow. Yeah.
What were you going to say, Si?
Oh, no. I was just going to tell Brett. I wasn't trying to call you out. I was listening to your plug for Dune and was waiting for it to be like, you were in it. You edited something. Alejandro's doing something with it.
We had Denis on the pod.
I'm surprised that you guys haven't put a campaign for yourselves to be in like the crowd scenes of Ted Lasso, because that would be awesome.
That'd be so cool.
Yeah.
If there's, at least to get you guys invited to a press screening or a after party. I mean, I'll put it out there. I'll start campaigning for you guys, because you guys are great. You guys do a great job with this show, especially the recaps and the guests that you have. So if anything we can do to get you guys involved with them,
what a thrill.
Mo, if you're listening.
Yeah, Mo, this rests on your shoulders.
Yeah.
Man.
Well, thanks, Brett.
Yeah, that's very kind of you, Brett.
Thank you, and Brett.
You're so fun to have on. We'll have to do this again sometime soon. Hopefully, you enjoyed the Ted Lasso you know, hot topics. Hopefully not too much pop culture for you, but I love that stuff. So thanks.
Yeah.
I love talking everything.
Everything?
Everywhere.
All at once.
Woo!